Zaire. Father Zaire. It says Zaire love Hashem be Ilun Imamre. Yushet has all kechom ayom. Hashem appeared to him in Ilun Imamre. He was sitting at the front of the tent at the heat of the day. Alright, so Rav Yashav asked this question, but I just asked it this week. I was so happy to have found it. Now, Avraham Avinu was the pillar of chesed, right? The ultimate pillar. There is no one that does chesed like Avraham Avinu, right? How do we know that? How do you know he did chesed? Like, where's your proof? Look in the Torah and tell me, where do we have a proof that Avraham Avinu was a man of chesed?
Third day after his birth, he like ran out to
Greece. So that's the riot right over here, right? We have a man that fought a war against four kings and thousands of people. He asked this question. He made Gerim. He did a bris milah. He kicked Yishmael and Lot out of his house. He did the Akedah and went to Mitzrayim and Gror. And we call him a man of chesed because of one story that's mentioned by him? I mean, well, why did this define who Avraham Avinu was? I can tell you, Avraham Avinu was very cruel. Kicked people out of the house, and then he did the Akedah. That's the type of person he was. And this was, you know, like was an anomaly.
Well,
once in a while, he did it.
To kick Yishmael out and to go to the Akedah.
Granted, God also said to Malachim. You know, so there is something there. So maybe there's some type of, how do you know? Here's what he says. He says, one mice at the beginning of a parsha might epitomize how he is the man of chesed. How? Okay, if you see a guy and you look at him and he groans, he's like, oh man, I had such a terrible day. So you ask him, oh, what happened today? What's going on with you? What happened to you right now? So all the different answers he gives you, parnasa answers, obviously, shidduch issues, you know, like, I don't know what I'm marrying, etc. Sargit obanim, you know, kids, if you have kids and you're just like, yeah, it was this and that and the other that happened today. You know, you have friends or neighbors that, like, you got into a fight with them or something happened with them, whatever it is. You have body pains or stuff that happened with your body, you're just not feeling well. Hell, you know,
tires.
Stuff like that. What? Somebody slashed your tires at the stream. That's neighborly issues, right? But have you ever heard someone moan and groan and say, I don't have any guests, and that's why I'm upset? You ever heard that happen? You ever heard a guy say, like, yeah, I don't have any guests. I can't believe what a terrible day it is. No one's coming over. You ever heard anyone say that? It never happens. Because it's ridiculous. It's not shayach unless you own a hotel. If you own a hotel, maybe they're complaining about not having any guests. But other than that, maybe a hostel. But aside from that, there's no way that you're going to complain about stuff like that. But here, Rashi says, in Rashi Kechom Ayom, says, what happened? It was the heat of the day. He saw that Avinu was upset. He was mitzayir, shlohayu orchim. There weren't any guests coming. So, what kind of a person does that? How does that come in? He even, according to Medrash, he sent a shliach out. He sent Eliezer Eved Avram looking for guests. And when Eliezer Eved Avram came back, you know what he said to him? He said, oh, Kenanim, because Eliezer was a son of Nimrod, he was a Kenani, right, or he was Og, whatever it is. Kenanim, they're all lazy. You can never trust the Kenani. You have to do it yourself. So that's what happened when he sat in the front of the tent. He didn't believe Eliezer that no one was passing by in the streets. He didn't believe him. He mamish could not believe it. And that's what he went out and did. Who does that? Who in the world does that? So you have to understand that it's dire business. If a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, right, even though he's technically, I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. In fact, he might even be doing a mitzvah. I can understand you're an ones, so you feel upset about that. You're mitzdayer. I'm mitzdayer that I have to eat on Yom Kippur. I can hear that, because you normally have to fast. You have to eat on Yom Kippur. I hear that, you know, it's an ones. I hear being upset. But here, no one coming is not even an ones. This isn't even something beyond your control. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's not even the level of what an onus would be. It's like being upset on Tuesday that it's not Shabbos. Oh man, it's Tuesday today. I can't believe it. I wish it was Shabbos. It just doesn't happen. Nobody gets upset that it's not Shabbos on Tuesday. What would be the point of such a thing? So Rav Moshe adds on over here that there's a mitzvah. There must be a mitzvah to want to do chesed. It's like a taiva for a person to have pizza on a Motzei Shabbos. There's just that desire is there. Avraham had that taiva within him to want to have guests. And when he didn't have it, he felt pain. He honestly felt pain when he couldn't do it, when others would breathe a sigh of relief. That's how close Avraham was to the mitzvah of chesed. And says Ramosha, that's the idea of what a person has to do in order to make chesed part of his life. I mean, if you want to be a baal chesed, if you want to be like Avraham Avinu, then you have to be upset if you can't do chesed. It's not that you walk around and you say, like, okay, there's no chesed for me to do right now. It's, why don't I have any chesed? How come I don't have any chesed? What can I do to get chesed in front of me? That's how you're supposed to walk around. That's the only way to be able to do it. So why did Avraham Avinu get so much into this form of chesed? Why was it Achnas Zorchim over anything else? Why, I mean, there are tons of examples of what you could do for chesed. Avraham could have been the greatest Mevaker Chola in the world. Right? He could have been the greatest Mevaker Chola. He could have been a guy that buried the dead, went around burying the dead and make sure they had proper burials. He could have done that. What, he has to be... I'm sorry? especially since he killed them all, right? Go out to the war right afterward and start burying them all, right? But you get to be a machnes oreach. So Yasha says such a chiddush, it's unbelievable. He says like this. He says nowadays, if you want someone to know something, right? You want somebody to know about something that you're doing or something that's happening. There's very easy ways of doing it, right? Commercialism is very, very common. You could make a commercial, either on the radio or on TV. And that way, everybody, except for those who don't have TVs or don't have radios, will be able to hear it, and they'll know, oh, you have a business that does this, or you have something that does that. It's a very easy way of doing it. You can make a huge billboard. You'll be able to show everybody, or a placard, you know, that shows everybody on the side of the street, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I have. It's a very easy way of doing stuff. You have blimps, planes in the air, you have what, megaphones. You can do this in all these types of ways. Avnu had to find a niche. He had to find a way to be Mepharsim Shem Shemayim, to tell everybody about God. And he wanted a way that would make the entire world know that there's a God. The entire world that know that there's somebody there who's going to be with them, and that you can speak to him. You can ask him about anything. You can deal with him in any way, that however you want to word it. It's called word of mouth. How do you create word of mouth? How do you do such a thing? So I'm going to have to have something that was crazy. He had to be absolutely crazy. So what did he do? He invited people over and promised them, no tweets back then, but he promised them, this is what you can do. If you go ahead, he said, if you go ahead and you come to my house and you eat my food, take everything you want, all you have to do is just make a bracha. Make one bracha. Make a bracha in the beginning and a bracha in the end. Two brachas. A bracha in the beginning and a bracha in the end. If you do that, I promise you, you don't have to pay for a thing. And I'll invite you over again. You can stay for as long as you want. You can do whatever you want in my house. People left the house saying, this guy is crazy. This guy is nuts. He's given away all his money, given away all his food, all his everything. For what? For a bracha. This is nuts. It's absolutely crazy that a person would do such a thing. How could a person even think about doing such a thing? That word of mouth was so great. It spread so quickly. It went around to everybody. That everybody started hearing about Avraham Avinu, and they said, wow, what a person. And Pierce Mashem was rampant. Everybody started hearing about God. And that's why Avraham Avinu did this. That's why I was specifying this mitzvah. Because Avraham Avinu believed in Achas Torcha more than anything else. Because it not only was a form of chesed, it was a form of piercing Hashem. It was a form of making a kiddush Hashem throughout the entire world that no one else was able to do. Because no one else believed that Akash Baruch was really in charge of their panasal, like God wanted me to believe. He mamish believed. Mamish believed. Oh my gosh. This guy just came in from Indiana. I just want to point it out to everybody. Way to go, Nisim. Okay, here we go. But it certainly wasn't easy. You had Sodom. They lived not so far away. I mean, we're talking Hebron to the Dead Sea. That's the distance. It's not that far. It's maybe a 45-minute drive. A couple hours of a walk from Sodom to where Avraham Avinu lives. Those people in Sodom were the exact, the antithesis of everything that Avraham Avinu stood for. Everything that Avraham Avinu despised. Lack of proper dayanim, Rishayim being matzliach, in God's perfect world, everybody would look at Sodom and say, well, if Rishayim are supposed to be punished, why are these Rishayim living it up? These Rishayim have everything they could possibly want. They're rich, they have everything, and they're famous. Everybody knew about Sodom. Sodom and Amorah and Adma and Tzvoyim and Tzoar. Everybody knew about these people. And they looked at them and said, how could it be? And it was an argumentative nation that would never accept a word of rebuke, a word of tshuva. So how could Avraham Avinu live with Sodom right there? So you think that Avraham Avinu, when he was told that Sodom is going to be destroyed, maybe a holiday. Well, thank God. They're finally getting what's due. They're finally getting what they deserve. The Rishayim Gemurim. They're finally going to die. It's going to be great for me. I'll be able to look at people. I'll be able to say, you see Sodom? You see how bad they were? See, they were destroyed. That would be a raya for Avraham Avinu's view of life. Rishayim are destroyed while the good people look at me. I'm so rich. I have everything that I could possibly want. But that's not Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't do that. Avraham Avinu davened for them. His sense of achnasas orchim was so great, it was so huge, that he had no desire whatsoever to show people off and say, look at me versus look at them. He didn't want to do that. That wasn't there. He wanted to help others so badly, and he wanted them to succeed, that no matter what it took, even if it took him davening for them, but wasting 16 psukim on them, and saying, I davened again and again, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, to try to daven for them over and over and over again. I'd rather not make the Kiddush Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying them and showing what happens to Rishayim. That's what Avraham Avinu said. That's the way everyone should be. This is how it should be, and this is the line. You have a shita, and you hold it very strongly. You hold that this is the proper way of doing things, to the point where you're upset when you don't get to do it. That's how it should be for you. But you never ever expect others to do the same. Just because you love to do Hakhnas Zorchim does not mean that everyone's going to do Hakhnas Zorchim. The fact that Sodom didn't want to do Hakhnas Zorchim, you can't force your will on other people. You can't imagine, you can't think to yourself, well, they should be doing what I'm doing. You can't even think, it's such rishus to be able to think that way.
Maybe Avraham Avinu just needed a polar opposite to make his ideas seem that much better.
It's without a question true, but then what happens when Sodom is destroyed, which they were? Meaning, once they were destroyed, then what happened? Clearly it wasn't necessary, and Avraham Avinu should have known that, or if he didn't know that, he clearly knew that afterward. So why would that get put in the Torah? It's clear. It's absolutely clear. You accept other people's differences. The fact that they're not like you. They're not like you. And you daven for them. And you say to them, I hope that you live an awesome life. I don't agree with you. I think, in my world view, that idea seems apikorsis. Seems like it's apikorsis. But I can't force my views on you. We grew up differently. We're thinking different things. Avraham Avinu's way was to accept without the rebuke, the harsh rebuke that sometimes gets thrown into play where you expect other people to be on your level. Okay, obviously that's a line against certain communities in Klal Yisrael, and obviously they have their shittos as well. I don't want to just say it out there. Yeah, they have their own shittos and reasons why they do what they're doing. They feel that it's the exact opposite. But that according to this idea, this would be the lesson that could be learned from Avraham Avinu and how he treated Sodom and what he did with Sodom. Such a huge machmas oreach. Yeah.
Do you think that because Avraham obviously represents the midah of chesed, that's one extreme, but do you think that deeds are better, gura, or the sense of musr? Should Avraham give them musr to try to...
Everything is different. Everything is different. You knew he wouldn't be successful that way. How can a guy, like...
God never did.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Rav Noach Weinberg was perfect to what he did. Can you imagine Rav Noach Weinberg as that fiery Rosh Hashiva that started screaming at people? Couldn't do that. You know, Rav Noach Weinberg was... He was a tremendous idiot in the way he was. You got to be the way you are. You got to be the way you are and know that this is the way that you... Just accept the fact that not everybody's going to agree with you at all times. You have to accept that fact and just be okay with it. That's perfectly fine. I will tell you, there is a real contrast here between Avraham Avinu and Avimelech. If you look later on in the parsha, when he goes to Avimelech, it's crazy. Avimelech is approached by God. He has a vision of God. This is Avimelech, a Rasha, an absolute Rasha. Has a Kaddish Baruch Hu come to him in a dream. Happens all the way after Sodom. He ends up going there. Once again, he says, you're my sister, etc. So look at the wording over here. It says, Vayomer Elov Elokim Bachalva. Where is it? Here he says, Vayomer Lo, Hincha Meis Ala Isha Shelakachta. You are going to die on the woman that you have taken. V'yibul Asbal. She is married to a husband. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avimelech in a dream. Okay, God says that to me in a dream. That's pretty much it. I'm done. You know, but good. I'm done. I didn't know. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I'm done. What does Avimelech do? Avimelech will carve a well. Avimelech had not approached her yet. By Yomar, and he said, Adonai, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog. Are you going to kill the Tzadikim with the Rishayim? Halu Amar Liachosi. He told me she was his sister. And he Gam Yamra Achiu. And she said that he is my brother. But some above you, Vinikim Kapayas, he sees those. I did this in perfection with cleanliness of the hands. That's how I did this. Okay. Hold on a second. Did he kill him yet? He didn't kill him yet. So clearly he's not killing him on the past. What are you killing him for? He's saying, if you stay with Sari Imenu, if you keep Sari Imenu inside your house, inside your palace, and you are try to force her to be together with you, you will be killed. Himachal Meis says, now, it's not you are dying right now. It's that you will die if you keep up what you're doing right now. So what does Avimelech argue? Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog? I don't understand. If he does it, he's no longer a tzadik. So what's the tzadik? How does he become a tzaddik? This is, it's mamish classic. First of all, how can you say anything?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
We're saying that Avimelech was told by God, you will die if you stay with this woman. You stay with this woman, you will die. It's clear, this is Ramosha's line, but I think it's 100% true. It's got to be that it's on the future, because if it was on the past, you'd already be dead. You'd already be dead. If you're, Kaddish Baruch Hu wasn't going to say, you are dying because of what you just did, waiting for an excuse from Avimelech. He's saying, you will die if you end up staying with this woman. So he's like, what? Would you kill a tzaddik? But you're not a tzaddik if you stay with her. You know it's wrong. And then he says, like, but she told me that she's his sister. And he told me that this is my sister. I don't get it. Well, I'm a tzaddik. I'm an unbelievable tzaddik. You're not a tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling you it's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to you it's not true. So how is he a tzaddik?
Because I mean, a tzaddik doesn't just grab, like, a woman, like, oh, you got her brother.
Granted, that's another issue altogether. But he says, I guess you could say that somebody grabs her for him, whatever it is. You know, but he's saying, like, I didn't know. I had no idea. But now you know. So what's his problem? Now you know.
He's making
a tzaddik doesn't do that. Even as he
went with his emotion.
Okay, so here's the deal. I love telling over the story because it's just a crazy story. I'm Sukkis, my fourth year in artist role. When I was engaged to, Rachel, and I was going to, I was getting a bracha from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I went in, and he took my hand, and I had written down on a piece of paper right before my father-in-law's name. At the time, there was something he needed for refuah, so I had written down my father-in-law's name and I wrote down a piece of paper on Chol HaMoed. I was supposed to write on Chol HaMoed, and I knew that, but I thought with Tzorach refuah would be okay. I go into the meeting with Rav Chaim, and he takes my hand and he's looking out at me. I don't know if anybody's seen Rav Chaim up close, but he has one lazy eye and one regular eye. It's one of the scariest. You know, he's a powerful man to begin with. And he took my hand and he started looking at me, like staring into my soul, you know, as usual. And he's shaking my hand and he says, what's everything? So I said, I'm getting married soon. He asked me the date. I told him the date and whatever it was. And then I put down the piece of paper and he looked at me and he said, Matai katav tzeh? You know, when did you write this? So I said, 2 minutes in the past, right? So what did he say to me? He said, Asur lichtov b'chol HaMoed. Okay, so you don't speak up after someone of that stature says that to you. And of course, I said to him, thinking that I'm a smart little kid, like, oh, chashavti shezeh l'tzorach refuah. And he threw down my hand on the shtender that he was holding my hand on, and he looks at me and he screams at me, Asur lichtov b'chol HaMoed. Like, what's wrong with you? What are you arguing with me for? No offense, but a third, fourth year guy in Eretz Yisrael is arguing with Chaim Kanievsky over a psak halacha when it comes to writing on Chol HaMoed. You think you're smarter than that? Like, oh, I got him on a Mishnah Berurah. Like, you're not getting him. You wrote a sefer on Mishnah Berurah. You're not getting him on this. It's like, oh, what was I don't know what I was thinking. And he was right, 100% right. That's the example of what Avi Melech is doing. What are you thinking? What in the world is going on? Avi Melech is like, oh, come on. He told me it was his sister, but she's not. So, but I didn't know. Okay, but in the future you do. But I might not remember. Like, what is that? The answer is that if a person's a Russia, if a person is sitting there, and this is the difference. When a man really wants to pretend that you are right, if you want to pretend that you are correct, even if it's mefurish not that way, even if God tells you you're wrong, you'll still find every excuse in the book to say it. Wait, but he told me that it was his sister. Are you sure, God? Kind of a question. What are you thinking? But that's what he told me. That's the way that a Russia looks at things. A Russia looks at things as trying to answer up why it's mutter. Trying to figure out why it's mutter. You have to prove to me that it's usser. While a tzaddik will look at things and say, you got to prove to me that it's mutter.
You're saying that
you have to be a posek. I don't say you have to be a posek. Although everybody has to be a posek at some point in their lives. They got to posek about every different aspect of their lives. Not always do we have all the information needed. You're supposed to be a maker. You got to find kulas, but you have to also know why it's a kula. Either way, I can't believe that Avi Melech wasn't convinced. God tells you, stay away from her. I don't know. Kind of a fool. Mamish, what kind of a fool. But we'll go back to the beginning of the Parsha. Now we're going to get into something that's a little, this is Rav Wolfson-esque. I mean, Rav Wolfson at his very best. Vayera Ilav Hashem Be'ilunei Mamre. So everybody brings down the famous Rashi, that Eilunei Mamre, Hu Shenasmo Eitz Alamilo, Vikach Nidlo Bechelko. Avraham Avinu had three friends, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Clearly these guys were not normal Yidden, they weren't normal people. They were Balei Bris Avram. They were the friends of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, before he gave himself the Bris Milah, according to the Medrash, went to his three friends and asked them, should he do the Bris Milah? It seemed clear that he had major issues of doing a Bris Milah because he said, number one, should I do it? Well, he said, granted he was 86 at the time, but he said, should I do it publicly? Should I do it privately? you know, like, what should I do? Like, how should I do the bris milah? Should it be done in private so that nobody knows about it? Should I let everyone know? He said, like, if I do do it and I'm different from everyone else in the world, and people might say, like, this guy's crazy. I might not be able to be, I might not be able to have anybody at my house anymore. People know that the way to become like me is you have to mutilate yourself. Who knows if people want to be like me? My whole staff, right now, I don't have any kids. That's what he said. You know, he's small, but he's different. I don't have any kids. I don't know. What should I do? Oh, not 86. He was 99 at the time. I'm sorry. But in 99, he's just like, I don't know. I only have you small. Should I go ahead and do this? This is a crazy thing. What should I do? That was the problem. So he went to Mamre. Anor and Eshkol said, don't do it.
But had he done it in private, this wouldn't have even been an issue. If he had just done it, he would have just, no one would have ever
100%,
seen it.
100%. But that's what his question was. And Anor said, do it in private. Eshkol said, don't tell anyone. Mamre said, do it in public. Do it be'etzema yom hazeh. Mamish, in the middle of the day, that everybody hears it.
They all said to do it.
No, Anor Eshkol said, do not.
So they said do it in private.
No, don't even do it. I'm sorry. Anor said, don't do it in public. Eshkol said, don't do it at all. Right? And Mamre said, go ahead and do it, and do it in public, and do it in front of everybody, and make sure that everybody knows about it. And you rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Mamre was zocha that he was sitting in his chelek, be'ilo ne Mamre. Because Mamre ended up giving him that advice to be able to do the bris milah. So that was before Hetzi, and everything was all good. But then it seems like Mamre is the greatest of the three. Right? So why is it always Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre? Mamre is always the last of the three. So why would he be mentioned last if he was the most kosher? If he was the one who gave the etzah, he's the one who was the greatest of the three. Then you can also ask some questions. Why was Mamre zocher to this? Well, Aner and Eshkol weren't. Was there a difference between Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, who they were? Is there a real difference between the three? We don't know anything about these guys. So is there any difference between those three guys? That's the second question. Number three. Now you get into Gogulim. I looked up a little bit about this last night in Seder Adoros. It's very interesting. Mamre's tikkun later on happened in an Atana by the name of Abba Umna. Umna means bloodletter. He was a Tana who had the ability to bloodlet. He was a doctor. He was a famous doctor. Because Mamre advised Avram Yenu to do a milah, he became the ultimate Rofe. And thus, Mamre is the gematria of Rafa, Resh, Pei, Aleph, as being a healer. He became a healer. And therefore, Abba Umna also became a doctor. Abba Umna, his future tikkun, also became a doctor. Now, Eshkol had a bit of a higher tikkun. Eshkol's tikkun was in Kalev ben Yefuna. And that's why Kalev ben Yefuna was nisametz to go to Hebron and to cut down the branch of the grapes, and he gave it over to the Meraglim. The Meraglim refused to take any grapes, but because Moshe Rabbeinu had said, go see the fruits what they are, and the Meraglim wanted to take it back. Kalev at the time thought it was an Eitz Tova. He was the one who cut down the grapes and gave it over. What's a cluster of grapes called?
Eshkol.
And thus Eshkol is connected to Kalev ben Yefuna. It's a connection between them. Now, there's no question that Kalev ben Yefuna was greater than Abba Umna. You could say, like, well, Kalev in his time versus Abba Umna in his time. Either way, to live in the times of Dor Dea, to be Kalev ben Yefuna, who got to be a Meragel twice, one in Yericho and one for Eretz Yisrael, to be one of the Meraglim, to be one of the greatest in Klal Yisrael, there is absolutely no question that Kalev ben Yefuna is a greater tikkun than anything that Abba Umna could have done. There's no choice. I mean, Abba Umna didn't live in Dor Dea. There's no question about that. So if you had the choice between them, so the question is, why did Mamre get a lower tikkun than what Eshkol got, if Eshkol wasn't seemingly as great?
Well, he needed a lesser tikkun. It's like he already filled up his pot higher than Eshkol.
That's going to be the answer. You're 100% right, Binyamin. That is the answer, that Mamre didn't need as much of a tikkun. But here's the idea. When Yeshua died, thousands of halachos were lost. Thousands of kavah chomers, gzeirah shavas, all these things that they knew, everything was lost and they didn't know how to get them back. Kalev called out and said, anyone who defeats the city of Kiryat Sefer, I'll give them my daughter Achsa, who's so beautiful, I'll give them my daughter Achsa as a wife. But you have to defeat Kiryat Sefer. Somehow you got to go defeat Kiryat Sefer. So they did that. Asniel ben Kenaz went out, the very first shofet, went out and defeated Kiryat Sefer and married Achsa. The Gemara in Temura says that not only did he defeat the city of Kiryat Sefer, he also understood the Sefer, and he figured out through his pupil all the halakos and the gzera shavas and the kalvachomers that Bnei Yisrael had lost. When Yoshua died, he figured them out from pupil. They went through them in Svara, in logic, and they realized that Asniel ben Kenaz is correct. They ended up doing that. So what's the pshat? So why call it Kiryat Sefer? Why connect the halachos to Kiryat Sefer? Says Rav Wolfson, every makom in Eretz Yisrael is connected to a different halacha. Every makom, every place that in Eretz Yisrael, wherever you are, has a different halacha that is connected to that area. So apparently those halachos were all shayach to Kiryat Sefer. So when he captured Kiryat Sefer and Asniel ben Kenaz had that city as his own, that became his chelik. His chelik became that Torah that he was able to learn in Kiryat Sefer to bring back those halakos that were lost. And that's the idea behind it. So too, Hebron was a very holy place. And it could be that what was Shayach in Hebron was the mitzvah of Milah and the mitzvah of Mesiris Nefesh. That in Hebron, if one lived in Hebron, they had these mitzvahs of Bris Milah and Mesiris Nefesh. Because Mamre lived in that land, because Elonei Mamre was Hebron, that means that Mamre was automatically connected to the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So when Avraham Avinu asked advice on what to do with the Bris Milah, who did he go to? Aner and Eshkol, who didn't know. Mamre was shayach to the Bris Milah. So he was able to give such advice. It's not because he was greater than Aner and Eshkol. In fact, he might not have been. We don't know. We have absolutely no idea. But Mamre was greater in the sense that he was connected to the land that had shaykhus to Milah. She had a kasha Milah and you have it. Well, also, level, I always heard this from my Rebbe in Midrash and Rebbe Levin, Rebbe Elie Levin from Shari Tuna. He always used to tell me, also, level, it's going to be so different because everyone's going to know who's the expert on what. You're all going to have your chelik in the Torah, the same chokenu besorah secha that we say at the end of our Shemon Esrei. And everyone's going to be an expert on something. There is something that even Mashiach is going to have to come to you and get. It's going to be a piece of Torah that I would never get if not for Yaakov over here. If I didn't have Yaakov, I would never know it. And nobody would know it. Nobody would have it because everyone has their own chelak, that one part that no one else knows. So that's really it. They're connected to a part of Eretz Yisrael. That halacha was there. His tikkun was as kalif. What was Eshkol's tikkun? Eshkol didn't have Milah and Mesiris Nefesh. He didn't get it. And he needed a tikkun to be connected to Hebron. So what did kalif do when he went with the Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael? He went to Hebron. And he sat there. And he was able to be Moser Nefesh, unlike any other part of the Meraglim. He was able to go up against the Meraglim and fight them and say, no, we don't need that. Mamre didn't need that big of a tikkun because Mamre was already done. He got his tikkun through Abba Umna, somehow through being a doctor in some way, shape, or form, doing something that Abba Umna did. And that was it. That's all I needed. Now you can understand a crazy medrash, an unbelievable medrash. The medrash says that when Avraham Avinu was serving the guests, so he brought out three cows. Why did he bring out three cows? He wanted to shech them and give them the tongue, right? So he had three cows. Says the medrash, the third cow ran away. The third cow ran away. So Avraham Avinu chased after it. It turns out that this cow was really a malach. It was a malach in disguise. He chased after it and went all the way to the front of Ma'aras Machpelah. Remember, this is the third day of Avraham Avinu's bris. So it's not so easy for him to run. I don't know how he ran, but he ran. He ran after the cow, met it in front of Ma'aras Machpelah. He saw into Ma'aras Machpelah and saw that there was a light that filled up the cave. And he realized this was the cave where Adam and Chava were buried. This must be the cave where Adam and Chava were buried, and he knew that this was where he was going to be buried as well. He went back, and he took the malach, just as a side note, it's just interesting in and of itself. He went back and brought the cow back, but in the end, the cow disappeared, because it was a malach. So he didn't have a third cow. Well, he had no time to go shecht another cow, so what did he do? So he created a cow through Sefer Yetzirah. That's what the Medrash says. And that's Uben Bakar Asher Asa, that he had made, which answers... I've seen this in two different places so far, which answers how he's able to serve them basar b'chalav, meat and milk. Because meat from a created cow is not fleshik. So it can be served with milk. So he's able to serve cheeseburgers. And they ate basar b'chalav, right? They ate basar b'chalav. But the malachim didn't know. The malachim didn't know that it was a created cow. They didn't know that, what? Yeah, so that's the question that I had on Upshot. Very good, Shmuel. Yeah, my question on Upshot is there are two other cows there. So what do you do with that? Maybe the other two cows, the tongues weren't with cheese. This one happened to be with cheese. I have no idea. That's already a good question. I don't have an answer for that. And the obvious answer is it's obvious that he served milkshakes and then fleshakes. And then there's the Belzer Rebbe that has a board on this. There's another. There's tons of boards that why it had to be Chemov, Acholov, Uben Bakar. Okay, regardless. Then there were signs he gave each one because they showed for each one. I have that's from all the way back. But that's the Sefer Yetzirah. So why now? Why in the world, when he was serving the Malachim, did the Malach go ahead and show him where Ma'aras Machpelah was? Remember, this was before he had Yitzchak. This means it happened when Avraham Avinu was 99. When did Sarah Imenu die? When did he have to bury Sarah Imenu? At the age of 137. That's when Avraham Avinu was 137. That's when the Akedah happened. So he waited. 38 years later, he was going to use Ma'aras Machpelah. He didn't buy Ma'aras Machpelah until 38 years later. So why do you have to know now? When he was with the Malachim, why would he have to know about this thing now? So here's the idea, and I think this makes a lot of sense. Said the following. Because the ultimate makom for the halachos of Mesiris Nefesh is Ma'aras Machpelah. The ultimate place where you can learn those halachos. Because all of Hebron was for Makom Milah and was for Mesiris Nefesh. That's the Makom for it. It's Milah and Mesiris Nefesh. But the ultimate Makom, the place where you get Mesiris Nefesh to its entirety to understand fully what it means to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there in that Makom. And part of Mesiris Nefesh is not only killing yourself, It's being able to sacrifice your children. And that's what Avraham Avinu needed. He realized that and knew he was zocheh to it through the mysterious nefesh that he had before, and the mysterious nefesh that he was doing right now through the chesed that he was doing for the malachim. Because he was moser nefesh to go and serve malachim, because he was willing to do all this chesed, he connected himself, he was given the ability to connect with the cave of Machpelah, which was the place where the ultimate mysterious nefesh was, which would help him be able to survive or to be able to get through the nisayon that he had later on with the Akedah. It was through this schus over here that gave him that schus to be able to be over there. By the way, he said that Wolfson adds on the very end, he just happens to say, the orla, okay, of what's it called, of a child after a bris milah, what happens to it? You bury it, right? Except for the coin of the Rashbash, who says that women who don't have children eat it. Yeah, that's a Rashbash, but that's not done. And, you know, usually if I said that out at Ezzy's bris, and I was yelled at for saying such a thing. So that wasn't a good picture. Do you remember that, Rafi? Were you there? You weren't there. Isaac's person went there. I don't even remember which one. That was not a good situation. Put it that way. But regardless, Orla is normally buried in Ofer. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it very interesting? Who is the owner of Ma'aras Machpelah before Avraham Avinu? Ephron. Ephron is the Lashon of Ofer, ultimate Ofer. Anything with own at the end is always the ultimate of this. Shimon is the ultimate in hearing. That's what it always goes as. Vav Nun is always the ultimate in something. Ephron is the ultimate of Ofer. He's the ultimate of the Nachash. His name, Ephron, is Ra'ayin. If you take out the Vav, that's how it's written. It's Ra'ayin, because in Ayin Hara, he was a terrible person, Ephron. The ultimate in evil. He was the definition of the Nachash himself. So what do? You remove Ephron from the area of Kedusha, and it becomes an unbelievable Makom Kadosh. When Avraham Avinu bought the land off Ephron, which is the only land in Eretz Yisrael that he bought, it's like removing the Orla from the Bris Milah and causing a new Bris Milah on the Makom. That's what he ended up doing over there, because the Makom of the Ma'aras Machpelah and Chevron was the ultimate place of a Bris. That was the idea behind it. The ultimate place of that.
You get a second Bris and start over again? I don't get that.
I'm sorry?
What?
No, it wasn't literal. No, obviously. Not literal. But regardless, that was just a nice idea. The last thing we're going to end off is the following. Of course, Avraham never planned on keeping everything to himself. He never wanted to keep these high milos and keep them to himself and say to himself, like, I want to be here and forget about everybody else. I mean, Yurkas, Parakyurkas, Pasukyurkas. One of the strangest things in the world. Should I tell Avraham about Sodom? I don't know. Maybe I should. God is having a conversation with himself in the Psukim. I don't know if I should tell Avraham Avinu about Sodom or not. Plus, it just says, Ki Yadatid, I know, L'man Asher Yitzav Ez Banav Ez Beitzo Achrav. He commands his sons and his house after him, V'shamru Derech Hashem, L'asu Tzedakah Mishpat. They keep the ways of God to do Tzedakah Mishpat. L'man Havi Hashem Al Avraham, Ez Shadi Ber Alav, to give HaKadosh Baruch, so Hashem gives to Avraham everything that he spoke to say. Such crazy things. So therefore, V'yomer Hashem, Hashem said, you know what, I'll tell him, Zaka Sodom Amaraki Ravach, I'll tell him, Kigav Demod, you know, I'm about to destroy Sodom, what do you want to do about it? And Avraham Avinu obviously davens and it doesn't succeed. It's a strange sequence of psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. He knows that Avraham Avinu's tefillos are not going to work. And yet, he says to himself, should I ask him? Should I not tell him? Should I tell him? Alright, I'll tell him. He gets them, and then Avraham Avinu davens, and he's like, alright, didn't work. Such so strange. Unbelievable. Yeah, green tail. What? There is a Dumna Magid on it. There's also a Chassam Sofer in the Pituchei Chosam. A beautiful Chassam Sofer. Pituchei Chosam. It's in the beginning of the Shalos Yeshuvas Orach Chaim. It is an unbelievable one. There are answers to this. But here's the idea behind it. And this is what I want to say.
What was the one that you said?
I'm not going into an answer of this specifically, why, you know, whatever, but Avraham Avinu was clearly into giving over to everybody whatever he had. Whatever he had, he wanted to give over to somebody else and say, here, you guys do it. How could such a person at the Akedah, when he's going up to the Akedah, he says to everybody, he's like, who sees the cloud up there on top of the mountain? Yitzchak says, I do, and Yishmael and Eliezer, who are around there, they don't see it. They sit there and they look at it and they say, Sam, how are you? They look at it and they say, they look at the mountain and they see that there's clouds on top over there. And Yishmael and Eliezer said, we don't see it. How could such a great person, a man of chesed, say to them, Shvulacham poimachamor, sit here please with the donkey. And what does Rashi say? Everybody knows, come on.
They're equal to donkeys.
You're insulting them? This is Eliezer, his Rosh Hashiva, and Yishmael, his son, who's done tshuva. And you're insulting them? You're saying to them, you're just like donkeys, guys. I can't believe you don't see the clouds. You're such Rishayim. I can't believe that. What kind of a person does that? Let alone a man of chesed, let alone a man who is passing his nisayon for the greatest test that has ever been done in humankind, which is supposed to be the Akedah. A person would say that to his avodim on his way down? Here's what Avraham Avinu was doing. This is the idea behind it. says Rav Shor, and this is unreal Rav Shor, because he meant, listen, you don't see the mountain. That means that I should be devastated, because I should have taught you better. I should have taught you what it means to be able to look at a mountain and see the cloud. You're not equal to me. And I don't understand why. Because Avinu, his whole life was about bringing people to his level, not lower than him and keeping himself on top, to bring people to his level and make them even better than him. He didn't want people to be under him. He wanted people to be just as great as him, to copy him, or be greater than him. He didn't care about himself. He was the ultimate in chesed, the ultimate achnas zorchim. He would daven for a city of Sodom, of these evil, evil people of Sodom. He didn't mind doing such a thing. So when he saw that Yishmael and Eliezer couldn't see the cloud on top of the mountain, he said, oy vey, you guys are too stuck to the donkeys. You're too stuck to the gashmias and olam hazeh. Haven't I taught you better than this? Yishmael, you're so old. I mean, right now, Yishmael was 51 years old. You're 51. Haven't I taught you what it means to be able to get rid of the gashmias? Eliezer, you've been my Rosh Hashiva for years, almost 50 years already. 50 and more than that. Almost 65 years since I had that fight with Nimrod. It's quick, and you're still not there. How could it be? So he sent a letter to him. He said to him, Nelecha ad ko, we're going to go until ko. We're going to go to this point. Chaf Hei is the amount of letters that there are on Kriya Shema, and there's more of a Hasidisha level. You could say like Ko Amar Hashem, the level of Nehuah that's there by the Vim, that they say Ko Amar Hashem, this is how Hashem says. Ko is it's Bar Ko, that's Bracha. Bracha is supposed to be that. Ayeka is a Ko, where is the Ko that we said to Adam Arishon? Echa, that we say on Tisha B'Av, is Echa, is a Ko, where is the Ko? The Chaf Hei is the ultimate Bracha. Nelcha Ko, me and Yitzchak will have to go on our own now. There's no way that you can come with us because you're not in the level. You're apparently not allowed here. However, v'nishtachave, we will bow down there and we'll do what we need to do. V'nashuva aleichem. Now, Rashi says it's a nevuah. Me and Yitzchak are going to return to you. Okay? But the problem is that at the end, did Avram even return with Yitzchak? At the end it says, v'yeshev Avram el me'arov. So at the very end, v'yoshev Avram el me'arov. He returned by himself. What happened to Yitzchak? We don't know. He might have gotten Gan Eden, this and that. The other might have went to Be'er Sheva, according to Rashi, but he went by himself. So according to Rashi, that it was a nevuah, that him and Yitzchak would return, what happened? It never happened. They never returned. They didn't come back. So there's another pshat. And here's the pshat that Rav Shor gives, and he says it maybe a little bit in Rashi. He chose that lashon because he said, v'nashuva, we will do tshuva together. I will come back to be on a level where I can help you come to that level. Because if the Rav, if the guy in charge, is a person that's on the proper level, he can bring everyone else with him to that level all the way up on top. He said, Avraham, I want to come back to you, and I want you guys to be equal with me. When I bring myself up to that level, you're going to look at me, you're going to say, oh my gosh, there really is a God. And you're going to be on my level, and not only that, you're going to be with me. And I'm doing it for you. This Nisayon is not only for me to raise my level to the highest level possible, and my children, it's for you also. It's for you also, and that's exactly what he did. He came back, and it says, unbelievable line at the very end. It says, Vayashav Amram el Rav, Yakumu Vayohu Yachtov. And they got up and they went together. Yishmael and Eliezer were on the same level as Avraham Avinu, together with Avraham Avinu, even though they never went up to the Akedah. Even though they never went to do the Akedah. Because Avraham was on such a level, he was able to come back and give it back to them. That's the idea. That a person says to himself, not about me. It's not just about me. It's about everyone. To help everyone out in whatever level that you can. And again, not to be argumentative, to explain to every person according to their state, where they're in and what they've been doing. Because every person is different. But a person has to be able to know, at least do something, at least help out someone, say something about God and His ways and everything that He does. That's the idea. And here's a summary. Avraham Avinu lived for chesed, got upset when he couldn't do any chesed. And he was mefarsim Hashem that way. He was able to give a piercing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing about chesed in the world. But still, even though he was so into chesed, maybe because he was into chesed, he davened for Sodom. The exact opposite of Avraham Avinu. Avimelech needed proofs to aser everything. Avimelech needed proofs to say something was aser. Well, that's the opposite of us. That's the exact opposite of what we need. And Mamre's chus of Mila, of the eitzah of the Mila, was all because of Chevron. That Mamre was able to be zocher to that eitzah, the proper advice, because he lived in Chevron and therefore only needed a very low tikkun. The final thing we said was Avram shared his greatness with others. He never kept it for himself. He allowed others to have it. And we should have also explained the Medrash with the Malach running away as the cow showing Amar's Machpelah. That should be it for now. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
I have very quickly.